I'd like to thank all the visitors out here tonight for coming to open God's Word and to study, and hopefully something that I say tonight might help you. Just before we start, if everyone could turn to the book of Jeremiah, the first chapter. Jeremiah, the first chapter. If you look at the book before that book, I'm going to call it Isaiah, because that's just how I've been raised. So we're going to be turning to there a lot tonight, and so if you're kind of confused, it's the book right after Jeremiah. Today's been a beautiful day. I don't know if any of y'all have been outside yet, but I mean, we've just had a wonderful day. We had perfect weather. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. The wind was blowing. The sun was shining. I mean, it was just, it was wonderful. It's days like today that remind me of the wonderful blessings that we have in God. But every day is not like it is today. Some days it's rainy, cold, overcast. And just like our lives, the storms of life will come upon us. Now, I'm not going to be talking to you about the weather, but I'm going to be talking to you about something that we all have faced. You see, throughout our lives, we face days that really don't turn out the way that we think it's going to turn out. We wake up in the morning, we don't feel good, or we wake up in the morning and we're like, all right, let's go. And then something happens that day and we're like, whoa, I wasn't ready for this. And it's sometimes we find ourselves facing these challenges and we really weren't prepared for them. And it's at these times when our fortitude is tested and we must decide how we will react. And you know what? I'm pretty sure that's how David thought. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, David is told by his father to go to the camp of Israel. The Israelites were encamped against the Philistines, and David's brothers were with the Israelites. And I'm pretty sure that morning David woke up, and when his father told him, you know, you need to go and give these supplies to your brother, I'm pretty sure he wasn't thinking, yeah, I'm going to go face Goliath today. I'm pretty sure that when David was doing what he was doing, he wasn't prepared for the fear of death that he was going to face. Because you see, there was a man, a champion of the Philistines named Goliath. And he would come out to the camp or in between the camp of the Philistines and the Israelites, and he would say, and he would just challenge them, come and fight me. Come and fight me. King Saul offered a reward for anyone who would be brave enough to go and fight Goliath. And yet, they all, or the Israelites, kind of ran away from him. Well, David was at the camp when Goliath made one of his challenges. And he looks around to the men and he says, who in the world is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He looked at them. I'm pretty sure that he could look at them. He goes, aren't you going to go out and fight? To the point where he goes, all right, I'll go out. I'll fight God. Saul agrees. Saul brings him to his tent. He puts his own armor on David, and David looks around. He goes, I can't use this armor. I can't move. So he takes the armor off. David is still willing to go. He grabs his staff, grabs his sling, he takes five smooth stones, and he goes out and faces his giant. David approached Goliath with the confidence that he could overcome him. And that confidence was because he had the help of God. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, it says, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David faced his giant and was able to overcome Goliath with the help of God. He recognized and accepted that he needed the strength of God to overcome God. And tonight, I would like to talk to you about facing our giants with God's strength. Conquering, not just facing them, but conquering our giants in life with the strength of God. Well, we're going to talk about the strength of God, so why do we need it? Well, because He is Creator and the Sustainer of life. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Here we're gonna read a couple of verses, kind of scattered out throughout the chapter, but I would like you to pay attention to the magnitude of God. It says in verse 5, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all His flesh shall see it, together for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Verse 10, "Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arms and carry them in His bosoms and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance?" Verse 21, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing and makes the judges of earth useless." Verse 28, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." How awesome is our God that He can hold the waters in the hollow of His hand. How awesome is our God that when man's wickedness was great, and every intent and every thought of man's heart was only evil continually, God brought the flood upon the earth. And where was God? Well, He was on His throne. Turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 28. Psalms chapter 28. I'm sorry, chapter 29, verse 10. "The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as King forever. The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace." God was on His throne at the flood. God is at His throne today. God extended grace to Noah, a righteous man, just as God promises to extend His grace and strength to His people. God can help us overcome our giants. In Isaiah chapter 45, verses 18 through 19, it says, "I am the Lord, and there is no other. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare the things that are right. There is no other God." God is our sustainers in all things, if we allow Him to be our guiding force in our lives. When we allow Him into our lives, we will now have the strength that David had to face Goliath. Because David allowed God in his life, and God gave him strength. God's strength is with His people. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Yes, I will help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand. For I, in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13, it says, "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." Our most awesome, our most magnificent God is hanging out His hand towards us, saying, "I will help you." And all we have to do is reach for it. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 31, He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Without God, David had a problem. David was a shepherd. He wasn't a trained soldier. Goliath wasn't just a soldier of the Philistines. He was their champion. So not only is David outmatched in combat, but he's also outmatched in size. Goliath was a giant. But yet with God, David could have beaten a whole army of giants. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 2, "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him." Our magnificent God strengthens His people. And that is how Paul had the strength. And when what he's talking about in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, when he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens." We see a lot of people say that. But how much more can we say that, knowing that we are His children? He gives us His strength. Our God is faithful. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, Moses is talking to the children of Israel before they're going out to the promised land, telling them, if you follow God, He will bless you. If you do not follow God, He will curse you. And he emphasizes in chapter 7, verse 9, "Therefore, know that the Lord God, your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments." God is worthy of our trust and belief. We can rely on our Creator to always be there for us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and chapter 5, verse 24, Paul tells the Thessalonians that He who called you is faithful. If you would turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." God is faithful to perform. God is faithful to forgive. In 1 John chapter 1, and verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Our God, our Creator, the Creator of this earth, we can sin. Because we're not perfect. But we can sin and we can ask God, "God, I need Your forgiveness. I need Your help." And God will forgive us. He will forget it. If you turn to Lamentations chapter 3, we'll be reading verses 22 and 23. "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness." Isn't that wonderful? When we go to bed, we pray to God, "God, forgive us of our sins." When we wake up in the next morning, we can have confidence that God's mercy is abounding that day. Does that mean that we go ahead and sin whenever we want? No. It means that we have to work on it. God is right there for us. He is faithful to us all the way to the end. our confidence to continue and to face the giants in our lives lies in the fact that God is faithful and will never abandon us. God is not a God that has separated himself, has put us on this earth and just left us alone to face the giants by ourselves. He has given us the tools necessary to defeat our giants, but we must use the strength that God has given us to defeat our own giants. David knew that if he went out and he stood before Goliath, that he had to do something. He had the faith, number one, to say, okay, God could just strike you down right now. But David had to do something. When God gives us strength, he is extending out his hand towards us. All we have to do is just reach it. And we have the strength to face anything in our life. We have the strength to face not just Goliath, not just any other giants. We have strength to face the evil. So how can we get God's strength? You might be saying, Andrew, this is wonderful. God is all powerful. His strength, he's giving it to us. But how can I have God's strength? I'm just a human. I sin constantly. I pray for God's forgiveness, but how can I attain His strength? Well, you have to believe that He is Lord God. Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 46. Psalms 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried off into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God and the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations rage. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth was melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. When we need a sanctuary, when we need just to get out of our world, God is there for us. God is there. He was providing for us a refuge. God will give us His strength. It's not show you how awesome God is. Turn your Bibles to Psalms 47. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to the God with voices of triumph. The Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. Psalms 48, verse 1. Great is the Lord God, and greatly to be praised. Our God is awesome. Our God is great. He gives us His strength. But we have to believe that He is the Lord God. In order to get His strength, we need to know the Lord as our own Father. This is important. Because God is extending His hand towards us. God is saying, I'm here for you. All you have to do is just reach. But God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. And if there is sin in our lives, if we are separated, that means, or if there is sin in our lives, that means we are separated from God. God's arm is not too short. No, it is us that need to make correction. David knew the Lord as Father. Several of the Psalms say this, but probably the most famous one would be Psalms chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David had this relationship with God. He could go to God saying, Father, in you is my strength. Lord is my shepherd. Think about it. David is a shepherd. He was a shepherd. He was eventually king of Israel. But he knew how much those sheep depended upon him to lead them, to protect them. And here he shows us that the Lord, he is our shepherd. We need God's strength. We need to know him as Father. Just as David had a relationship with God, Christ wants us to have a relationship with him. In 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ, this is true God. This is the true God. And eternal life. In John chapter 17, verses 2 through 3, Jesus is praying to God. He is about to go and be crucified on the cross. And he prays that people may come to know the Father, to know him. He wasn't just saying, oh yeah, I think I've heard of Jesus. Oh yeah, no, that's not what Jesus was asking. He was wanting this relationship with us. We are his children. He is our Father. If we want God's strength to defeat our giants, we have to know him as Father. In order to know him as Father, we need to seek the Lord through prayer. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Turn your Bibles to Psalms. Psalms chapter 107. Verse 23. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy winds, which lift up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their souls melt because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and they are at their wit's end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm. The giants in our life won't just come one, we defeat that giant, then we come to the next one. Sometimes it might be like a storm. It all just piles on us at once. And you know what? When we are distressed, when we are at the point where we're going mad, we can say, God, I need your help. He will be there. We need to seek Him through prayer. We also need to seek God in righteousness. Psalms chapter 4, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 119. Psalms 119 verse 33. David, man after God's own heart, sought for this righteousness. He sought it as we read in verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. David wasn't just, all right, I'm a child of God, I'm good. No, he's saying, teach it to me, God. Teach it to me, and I will keep it to the end. When we seek the Lord in prayer, in righteousness, we seek His strength. Because when we're seeking righteousness, we're trying to be Christ-like. When we're trying to be Christ-like, we can pray, God. God, I'm going through a really hard time right now. I know that I can make it, but I can't do it by myself. I need you. I need your strength. That's what we can do as Christians. Isn't that wonderful? We can seek His strength through prayer and righteousness. David writes, glory in His holy name, let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and seek His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. We seek God who give us strength. What have we looked at tonight? God is our creator and sustainer of life. Just think about it. At the tips of your hands, you have the strength of the Almighty God. The God that can give life and take away life. You have that strength. And it's with you. It's with me. We might not think about it all the time. But it's with us. All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is pray. And God is sitting out there hand in hand. God is faithful. He won't desert you. When the whole world deserts you, when friends and families go separate ways, God will always be. And that's kind of common. Because no matter what I face in my life, no matter if death comes to my door, God will always be there. Therefore, we need to believe that God is the Lord, the Almighty, the All-Powerful. We need not just to know what He is, but we need to know that He is our Father. He wants to be our Father. All we have to do is come to Him. David had a relationship with his Father. And he gave God the credit for his victories over the giants. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 36, it says, "Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.'" You get from this that David knew where his strength came from? Do you know where your strength comes from? It'd be really easy for David to say, "Hey guys, look over here. I killed that bear. I killed that lion." But no. David says, "God gave me the strength. God helped me." In order to attain the strength that God has laid out before us, we must all place our trust in the Lord. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength." We trust that God is always next to us, before us, behind us. We will have the strength. Isn't that how David faced Goliath? I can remember when I was little, people would call Goliath was huge, was big. But I was just like, "Oh, David was probably, a full-grown man." Well, then I turned, 17 or 18, and someone says, "David was probably your age." I looked up and I go, "Okay, Goliath looks a little bit more scary." You see, David could walk up to Goliath. He could tell Goliath, "Look, today, I'm gonna win. Because God is with me." He could do that because he trusted that God was with him and able to deliver Goliath into his hand. Last passage tonight. Turn to 1 Samuel, chapter 17. First Samuel chapter 17. "Then David put his hand in his bag and took out the stone. He slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into the forehead and he fell face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out from its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled." David spoke true in verse 47. "Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." Brothers and sisters, the battle belongs to the Lord. We might think that because of all of our successes in life, we can face anything. And at the end of the day, we're just humans. But with God, the Almighty with us, we can face this life and we can face the evil one. And there is no doubt in our minds, because we will have victory if God is with us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Is God for you tonight? Because if he is, then great. because you can walk out of these doors. You can face the world and the wickedness head on. God, if you're not a Christian tonight, then God is not with you. What giants are you facing? The giant of fear? Guilt? The giant of shame and worry? Of discouragement? Of bitterness? Is it the giant of pride or doubt? Or maybe it's just the fear of taking that first step. Realize that you can do all things through Christ. You have to know Him as your Savior. If you're already a Christian tonight, but have wandered away, come back. Be in the Lord's army. If you're not a Christian tonight, think about it. You have the opportunity now to become a part of an army that has the Creator as its King. Will you come tonight? As we stand, as we sing.